This is Today's Business Leaders. Actionable advice from real-world professionals. And now here's your host, Gabe Arnold.
All right, so today on the show, I have Akbar Sheikh, and he is going to share with us all things entrepreneurship, and I'll probably even ask him what those weird pictures in behind him are. Welcome to the show, dude.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Nice to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad we got to run into each other at FHL. That was kind of random and cool that we got to chat there. It's nice to actually meet people really face-to-face, but this is second best to have
us. Yeah, people are always weird in real life. Like, I mean, just like seeing their face always in pictures and then in real life, it's real trippy.
For sure. So to get started, why don't you share with us, when did you realize or first realize that you were an entrepreneur?
I don't know if I ever had the opportunity to realize that I was an entrepreneur, because I remember I was in first grade, and I actually vaguely remember this. My parents always didn't remind me. And it was like a student play or something, right? And all the kids, you know, had to go up and say, hey, what do you do? What do you want to be when you grow up, right? And some kids like, oh, I want to be an astronaut. Oh, I want to be an astronaut. I want to be a fireman. I want all these typical answers. And I went up there, and everyone started laughing. The whole audience started laughing when I said my answers, because it was so unusual. I said, I want to be a businessman. And I guess I said that because my dad was a businessman. And honestly, like, you know, he always like put that in our heads that we are going to be businessmen. So we never even thought about anything else, because we grew up like that. I don't want to say we were brainwashed into it, but I guess we kind of were, if you really think about it. But I mean, we were always, you know, entrepreneur, the way of the entrepreneur is the only way we knew.
Yeah. Very cool. I'm brainwashing my son, I guess. So I'm
okay. Oh no, don't do it. It's funny, because like he always said, like he thought that, like he felt that out of all professions, he's like, and he's not an egotistical man or anything, but he's like, doctors, lawyers, all these people, they work for me. So he thought the best thing for his kids was to be an entrepreneur. He thought that out of everything, the best thing to do is to be an entrepreneur. So that's what he wanted for us. And it's funny now, because literally all of us are entrepreneurs. My sister owns a retail store. My brother owns an online mattress store. I do whatever it is the heck I do. And my little brother's too young to understand how the world works. But
I have a little brother too.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting how we all end up being entrepreneurs.
So are you going to tell your kids to be entrepreneurs?
No, I'm not. I'm going to tell them to do, you know, it's interesting. I mean, you know, these questions are always interesting, right? Because like I can always say one thing, but you don't really ever know until I can get, and people are always evolving as humans. You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't know, at this exact moment, no, I want to encourage them to do whatever makes them happy. If they ask me about entrepreneurship, I say it's the best thing I know of. You know what I mean? I love it. It's like, what's important to you? You know what I mean? Maybe they're artists, you know, maybe they're athletes or something. I don't know. But I would encourage them to be passionate about whatever it is that they do. Not to, like there's a lot of people, for example, who do like IT. It's like, you can't possibly be passionate about that. It's not possible. Like, I don't think it's actually possible. So it's like, I mean, I'm sure some of them are, but.
Some of them are, but not all of them.
I would encourage them to do something they're passionate about. Do you know what I'm saying? So that would be my main thing for sure.
Cool.
It kind of sucks, because it's like a serious problem. It'd be easier to just like go be an entrepreneur. But like, it's a lot harder to find your choice. Hopefully they're blessed, and like we can kind of give them, like in their upbringing, we can kind of give them freedom to explore different avenues. And then hopefully we can identify that, oh, okay, you know what, this, like my son right now, he's really good at kicking me anyway, so maybe he's good at soccer. Maybe we put him in soccer class. Maybe we can identify some skills that they seem to be good at and kind of like put them in those classes and kind of encourage them a little bit or something.
The next Pele.
Yeah.
Cool. So in first grade, you say that you want to be an entrepreneur. Give us the short history from there to here today.
The short history is, I said that in first grade, and today I'm an entrepreneur. That's a really short history.
Tell her in a little bit. Don't be a total smart ass to me. <I'm just kidding.
laughs> it's interesting. I, it's interesting, actually. I'll tell you the one thing. and I kind of get sick of telling my story, to be honest with you. So I always try to cover different parts of it. I'll tell you one thing. Like I, for a while there, I was doing, and I'll just call it like silly entrepreneurial stuff. Like I had like a small car dealership, or I was doing like, I was in a rough area of real estate.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning I was dealing with in undeveloped communities, housing in undeveloped communities. I didn't like any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I hated it. So I actually thought I hated, is that my dream car out there? That is my dream car. Hold on, I'm about to show. It's a 1976 yellow Corvette. That is the car I want to get next. What was I saying? I'm like a goldfish. I'm very easily distracted. But
I'll bring you back.
Yeah. What was I saying? Yeah. So like I realized, I was like, dude, I hate that stuff that I was doing. So I thought I hated business. What I was too immature to realize is that it's not that I hated business. I just hated the business I was in. So I was stuck in those businesses for a while, man, hating. I looked for a job for a long time. I could never get a job. I applied to so many jobs. I could never get a job. I don't know what it was.
Huh.
It was strange. Bizarre. But I think honestly, like I went to a couple of interviews. I think it must have been too threatening, because I was like, they're like, the manager's like, well, where do you see yourself going? I'm like, top management. They're like, huh, that's us. You know what I mean?
You sabotaged your own interviews.
I think so. I'm pretty sure I sabotaged all my own stuff. But anyway, so I was like, dude, I finally switched businesses, and then I was, oh, wait a minute, I love business. But you just have to enjoy the business you're in. I think a lot of people give up on it because they're in the wrong business. You're like, oh, I tried business and I tried selling hubcaps on eBay. No, business is stupid. No, selling hubcaps on eBay is stupid. You know what I mean? So it's like, that's a big and cool realization for me, I think.
That's cool. That makes a lot of sense. So if you're not doing what you're passionate about, it's hell.
I think so. I don't know. I think most people are unhappy. I think that's what the statistics say. I think most people, I think the majority of people get divorced. I think a massive amount of people are on antidepressants. I need to get the current statistics, but these numbers are massive.
Oh, it's huge. Yeah.
It's disgusting. How many people, disgusting from where we are as a society, is how many people are like suicidal. How many people hate their job? I think 70% of people hate their jobs. People are generally speaking, not happy statistically. Right. So, it's cool to talk about this because, you know, there are a couple of tweaks, and I was unhappy for so many years, but there was a tweak. There's a few tweaks people can make to improve the quality of their lives. And that is to allow themselves the freedom and the permission to explore and to not be, you got to change normalcy, man, because normal sucks. Statistically speaking, normal sucks.
Yeah.
And if your normal sucks, then change it. You know what I mean? It's like you eat the same things every day. Nothing's going to change. You're trying to lose weight, but you're still having a cheeseburger every day. Nothing's going to change. You got to change normalcy. That's how I lost 50 pounds or 70 pounds. I don't remember. I think it's irrelevant. But, you know, that's one of the main things I like to tell people, is you got to change normalcy.
Yeah. I think truly successful entrepreneurs in the long run did exactly what you did. They did things they shouldn't have been doing, but they learned a lot from it. But because of their ability and willingness to change normal over and over and over and over, eventually they get into the right path or the right stream, or they end up finding what's good for them.
Yeah. What are these pictures you have here in the background?
One is from an artist that I follow, and one is my tattoo. That my first tattoo that my brother drew for me, which is right up there.
Oh,
and
cool.
Then one is some of my photography. I'm kind of like an amateur photographer. And then I got like pictures of my girlfriend and my son. And
nice. Yeah, nice setup. Well, your setup is a lot like my setup.
Yeah, stuff on a whiteboard so I look smart.
Yeah, me too. I got a bunch of junk on a whiteboard over there. I don't know what it says. It's all just chicken scratch. It's my order for lunch, actually.
I have an interesting question, because you talk about something that I agree with, and I also think that it's presented wrong 98% of the time, just like all statistics that are made up. But anyway, you talk about passion, which I totally agree with, but I think that people try to get into entrepreneurship by following their passion, and I feel like that's kind of a selfish entry point, and then they struggle.
Why do you feel like that's a selfish entry point to come into? Would you say you think people come into a passion and you think that's selfish?
I think that people talk about doing what you're passionate about, which I totally agree with. And then I think that an immature or young entrepreneur, not in a negative way, but just you're immature. We're all immature at different points in our life, or always maybe. But when you're immature about entrepreneurship, you hear that and then you go, oh, I just need to find what I'm passionate about that and push that on the world. When I think that the real path is find who you're passionate about serving and give them whatever they need.
Yeah, and there can also be a balance to that, right? I mean, there also could be a nice balance. That's very interesting. It's funny because actually Matt was here. He left for to do lunch or whatever. He's my right-hand man, and we were looking at a split test. Mm-hmm. And I was going to – like, there was one variation I just liked more. And frankly, I didn't care if the other one converted a little bit better. I just liked the other one better, so I was going to use that, even though that meant less money. But, you know, I don't care. Right. Thank God the statistic showed that the one I liked converted a few points higher, a few percentages higher. But yeah, I mean, look, you can kind of do what you want too. You know what I mean? You do have that freedom. Is you'll just make a little less money. And if that's okay with you, then that's okay with you. You know what I mean? But yeah, never, I mean, I say never sell out. Like if like, oh, well, I don't really like this as much, but it makes me more money. Don't do it then. You know what I mean? But I don't know. That's just what I do.
No, that totally makes sense. I think sometimes too, like one thing I've noticed a lot more over the last few months or years or whatever now is that there's certain language that really effective leaders and entrepreneurs and people use to engage you. But then once they engage you, if you start to pay attention to what they actually do, what their actions are, that's where the lesson is. So sometimes we use language or we hook people in or we use language as a specific tool, but if you then start to pay attention to what somebody actually does, you can see if they're effective or what to do. If you model behavior, you can move faster than if you listen to words.
Yeah. Don't listen to what I say. Watch what I do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I mean, people don't understand this. Like it's actually really profound. You just said what you just said, it really summarizes the world of internet marketing, right? I mean, it's all like, okay, for example, there's like three top guys, like three top marketers. Their webinar funnels are exactly identical.
Yep.
All right, go funnel like that and insert your own messaging. Now, insert your own messaging is an art and you need help. And that's actually something we coach people with, something we, because the difference between a funnel that doesn't work and a seven-figure funnel, what's a seven-figure funnel, is really messaging. You know, what's one of the core things anyways, really that messaging. And most people have difficulty doing that. That's something we specialize in. That's something, I mean, we helped, recently we helped a medical massage clinic go to seven figures online. And it was because we changed the messaging. We said, massage 2.0, like the future of massage. You know, so it's like, you know, something snappy, like just changing the messaging, slapping people with a cold, wet fish, switching things up. That is an acquired art, you know, the actual messaging and the essence. And that is something that's very important. That's something that you can't really copy and paste.
You have to actually do the work to figure out what you have to say.
Yeah. Yeah. Scary. You got to do work.
How did you get there? Cause that's a really important point. I read your book on the way to funnel hacking, which I really love because it was short and on point and authentic and everything. And then on the way home, I read Todd Brown's book, and you guys are very similar thinkers and very similar writers, which is cool. So
we talk about writing is we probably both transcribed it.
Probably.
So my book is nothing but a bunch of my transcriptions. I wrote the book by speaking.
Yeah. That's a book's a book's a book.
Yeah. Well, by the way, and that's a good tip, by the way, because the most it's actually very interesting. The most profitable form of copy, or one of the most profitable forms of copy, is to write the way you speak. But it's a very difficult skill to acquire, but it's an extraordinarily easy task to achieve because all you have to do is speak and transcribe that. And then that's copy. On how that's copy based that's written as you speak. Exactly.
If you didn't hear what he just said, pay attention because it's absolutely gold. And I'll agree with that for many reasons. One, because yes, conversational, how you talk copy converts like killer. And one of my best all time top producing copywriters for me, this guy used to earn four times what everybody else on my team earned. And then he was successful and I helped him move on to his next thing, which was awesome. But he never typed a single word. There you go. He's the only writer I've ever hired that could not type, basically.
And my typing is a joke. It's like a chicken came to a keyboard and started. That's what my typing is like.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I'm glad you brought that up, because that's how the book reads. And it's like the easiest reading book I've ever read.
Thanks, man. Appreciate that. That means a lot to me. I'm going to probably expand the book and re-release it in hard copy, by the way. There's a question here, if you don't mind, from my audience. It's like, hey, man, great show. Thanks. Appreciate that. Question. How do you meet the five? I can't read, man. How do you meet the five best people you got around you, your support network in your business? Very good question.
That is a good question.
Let's come up with all the cheesy sayings. Ready? You are who you hang out with. You are the
accumulated average of the five people that you're around.
Blah, blah, blah. 100% true. 100% true.
That's why they're sayings.
Yeah. We are so blessed. Like, it's so stupid how blessed we are. It really is. Like, I guess you can't use stupid and blessing in the same sentence, but it's amazing.
Stupidly lucky.
Yeah. It's amazing how blessed we are, because like, dude, well, actually no, nothing's really changed. Now, for example, right now we can watch, like people can watch your podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could be in their circle, because we have complete control of what goes in here. And it's actually, people don't understand, like, these are okay, you want to get crazy? Let's get crazy. Your eyes and your ears are gateways to the most important thing, your mind, which as an entrepreneur, because we're artists, I need to record this, because this is brilliant.
I'll give you the recording. Don't worry.
I don't mean to say that I'm brilliant, but this is cool. But as entrepreneurs, we are artists. And our canvas is in our mind, and it needs to be clean and clear for us to produce and have momentum and to create. These ears and these eyes are gateways to your brain. You really need to have, like, you know, like they have guards, the British guards, like, who don't move. You need to have guards, like, yeah, guards in your ears and on top of your eyes to make sure that only good stuff is going in. Not all this, you know, crap out there. And believe me, there's a ton of crap. There's only so much space up here.
Yeah.
And then your mind burns out, and then it's done being productive. Your mind is only super hyper-focused and super active and productive for X amount of time in a day. And if you zap all that energy with all the crap out there, all the cooler, water cooler talk, all the TMZ stuff, all the gossip and reality TV and all this crap, you're not going to produce, much like most of the masses don't produce. Luckily, you have complete control of what you put in your system. What do you, when you go in the car, what do you listen to? Are you listening to NPR? Are you listening to some sleazy talk show? Or are you listening to dance music? And don't get me wrong, listen, matter of fact, last night, me, my wife, and my two little babies were dancing to 90s party music, and we're having a great time. But that's social time.
Right.
That was social time.
Was it you by yourself in the car?
Yeah. And sometimes if I've had an awesome day, I actually use these things as rewards. I'll reward myself with some like 90s party music, dance music, or hip hop or something like that. Cause I like something with a good beat. So I'll reward myself with that. Same thing as like my system. You know, I eat healthy. If I've done really well for a couple of weeks, I'll reward myself. I got an In-N-Out cheeseburger joint right there next door. I'll reward myself, but what I'm rewarding myself with, using it as a treat, people are doing it daily, on the daily, like it's nothing, like it's water. Well, that's
no longer a reward. Now it's a poison.
You got to understand, when you put that bad food in, remember I was talking about your mind's got to be clear. Everything's connected. Your gut and your mind are connected. So your gut's got to be clean too.
Yeah.
I'm telling you these things from my experience. Like, I never saw any success until I cleaned up my gut, until I cleaned up my mind, until I cleaned up my heart. Then everything's clean and is optimal and can focus and can produce. And that's how I've been able to scale. But yeah, man, you're in complete control of what you put, what you see, what you hear. Choose to listen to good podcasts like yourself. Choose to read good books instead of the, you know, sleazy magazines. And if some of that stuff's your guilty pleasure, go do it. My wife, I hate the Kardashian show. It's because I'm a marketer and I see what they're doing, and it's just pure entertainment. It's all fake.
It's annoying.
Yeah, but hey, maybe that's your guilty pleasure. My wife watches it as a guilty pleasure. But reward yourself with this.
Mm-hmm.
You deserve that reward. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So the person asked the question, How do you surround yourself with the right people? Follow the people you like. There's a small handful of people I like, and I take a look at their content. I'll read their books, or I'll listen to their podcast, or I'll read their email, mm-hmm. or whatever form of content. Like that's your circle of influence. We're so lucky. You don't have to go ideally you should try to work with these people like one-on-one, but at least you can control who you're listening to, who your circle of influence is. And that's the best way to do it. Hopefully I answered that question properly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then another question here, if you don't mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm kind of taking over a little bit, but I don't want to leave them hanging. Someone's saying, how much does mindset play? Do I do any daily practices with mindset? Yes, I do. One of the coolest things is daily reflection at the end of the day, right? Daily reflection at the end of the day. And I quietly sit in a corner away from all the crazy distractions at my house. I have two little kids, so it's a zoo in my house. I have a 1-year-old and a 2-year-old, so it's literally a zoo. I get no sleep either. I really don't. I don't know. Anyway, first world problems. But what do you call it? Every night I'll try to reflect. Hey, how was my day? Mm-hmm. What did I do right? What did I do wrong? What can I improve on? What opportunities can I capitalize on? Where did I waste time?
Yeah.
And it's that constant kind of reflection and improvement. And then I'll write down what I call my daily three, like the three things I want to accomplish the next day. Last night I wrote 11 items. You know what I mean? And some of them are super simple. Like, hey, message this guy back.
Right.
They're all like things that are going to take my business forward. So mm-hmm. that helps me a lot for sure. Helps me stay focused. And I have an addictive personality. So you have to kind of adjust these things accordingly. Cause like I have an addictive personality. So like I'll check Facebook way too often. So yeah. Now I have to consciously make an effort. No, don't do that. Don't do that. And I kind of like train myself and kind of brainwash myself. Dude, stop checking Facebook all the time. And a cool way to do that is like, I used to go to like, you know, for example, like a news site or something. Like mm-hmm. don't go there for a week. And I've done this experiment, right? I'm like, I missed out on nothing. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't need to go do that. Do you know what I mean? Like, I didn't need to go check Twitter 3 times a day. I didn't do that for a week and nothing changed. And actually, I don't miss it at all. So it's like, understand this. These platforms are very deceitful and actually very, it's pretty corrupt, if you want my honest opinion, because they're very manipulative. Everything is very, very, very purposely done. They've done the studies that when you get a like on a post, what happens in your brain is the same reaction as if you do cocaine.
Yep. Dopamine shot.
Yeah, dopamine shot. These companies know that. Everything they do, matter of fact, YouTube, these kids' videos, my kids watch these weird-ass kid videos. I found out that some of them are computer-generated, and they're purely generated based off movements and colors that keep kids zombie-like and engaged. It's disgusting. Like, they're really using manipulation for the wrong reason. So all these distractions, cigarettes is nothing but a nicotine. Tobacco is nothing. The casing of a cigarette is nothing but an agent to carry nicotine, which is what they want. It's basically just a drug that's addicting, and cigarette is the case for it. It's all a bunch of nonsense. It's all about to make money. So you need to get rid of all that. None of it's good for you. Get rid of all that distraction and focus on your business, and only then you'll grow. And most people are not growing. 70, 80, 90% of people, depending on how you measure statistics, are not growing. They're stuck. This is one of the core fundamental reasons why.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think what you said in the beginning is really key, is that you've got to make the conscious choice to protect your inputs. And you said you only need to put good things into your mind, which I totally agree with, but I want to color that in a little bit more and say, I think that you only need to put beneficial things into your brain.
Beautiful. Look at you.
Because Facebook is good. That's how we're hanging out.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
you know, I know what you meant. I'm not contradicting. Yeah. I'm saying like all those things are good, but too much
everything
good
is
stuff,
good. Everything
too
is
much
good.
Good stuff makes you fat, right? It can be, you know, it can be problematic. So you actually need to consciously choose beneficial pieces. And to answer your member's question there, you know, I consciously choose to hang out with people on a show like this so that you and I can benefit and learn and grow and develop relationships so that other people can benefit from our conversation.
Yeah.
I also, it would be non-beneficial for me to do interviews and meet new people and hang out 24/7.
Right.
It would be just as bad as going to McDonald's every day.
No, everything is good. You know, I say, oh, what do you think? Our iPhone's good. It depends. What are you using it for? Are you playing Angry Birds all day or are you doing good stuff? Right. Every platform is inherently good. It's what are you using it for?
Right. You know what I'm saying? And consciously choosing how you're going to use it is the responsibility that you have. And then you'll hang out with those influences, those four or five people, and they'll be beneficial for a period and for a season. And then you may outgrow that benefit, and then you should bring in a new influence, right?
We're too blessed. It's we need to actually, and that's another thing they talk about. We have to reflect on our blessings every day. We're too blessed. It's amazing. We got our fingertips on the top marketers' mind. Exactly. And you know, guess what marketers are doing right now? They're all competing against each other. Who can give out the most content? And guess what? They're giving out their best content because they want to win. We're too blessed. I mean, if you can't make it in this online, it's a big shame. It's a big, big shame. The amount of quality resources at our fingertips. It's too beautiful. It's too beautiful.
So you shared kind of like obviously getting distracted or not putting the right things in your mind, all of that. I totally agree. You lose clarity and then you get confusion and then you can't act. Are there any other tips or mistakes that you would tell people to avoid? Or what are the things that you would say, here's just a few things that will move you forward today from where you're standing in a point of inaction and confusion, maybe to having clarity and taking action and moving forward?
I think it's exactly that, right? I mean, our boy Einstein said a great thing. He said that one of the definitions of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. It goes back to changing your normalcy. What are you doing today? Did you make your top three things? Do you have a list of the three things you need to do to make your business move forward? If you don't know what that is, you need to get clarity on that. That's number one. If you can't figure that out, honestly, you need to get a coach. Create a blueprint, a plan, and implement that on a daily basis. Three things to move forward. If you don't have a plan and you don't know what to do, I mean, you're in big trouble. Or as my little baby says, big trouble. You're in big trouble. He tells that to me daily. I don't know what I'm in trouble about, but you are in big trouble if you don't have a plan that you're implementing daily, you know?
Yeah.
And another one of my, I have this quote somewhere. It's like, entrepreneurs jump off a cliff and build a parachute on the way down.
Yeah,
that's interesting. That's cool. You know, nice little t-shirt, but we should have a plan. In reality, we should have a plan. Yes, things come up all the time and they say you want to make God laugh, make a plan, you know, but you have to have audibles and adjust. I mean, I'll give you a perfect example. Like I thought I was going to do this collaboration on a course with somebody and it didn't quite work out. And I was really counting on it. I thought we were going to do really big things with that course. And I could have been like, and a lot of people could get crushed when like I had really, really high hopes for it. And a lot of people get really crushed when they thought something's going to happen. And then they buckle down. They don't get productive. Their mindset gets shot. They don't want to do anything. This is what happened. Now, what happened to me? This just happened to me yesterday. Listen, I believe everything happens for a reason. I believe everything happens for our betterment.
Yeah.
I believe the universe loves us. God loves us. Everything is for our betterment. And guess what? Maybe something better than this course is going to come out. So it's true. I was sad and disappointed for a minute. But then as I internalized that, as I worked through it, I'm done with it. And now I'm actually content. And I'm going to understand that, hey, something better is going to come from this. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that's a strong mindset. And it takes, you know, just like any other muscle, it takes a little bit of exercise, but it's that daily reflection. And what happens is if you do that daily reflection, you're going to see results. And nothing is more empowering than results. And now you can measure results many different ways. You can measure it financially, which I don't really care about anymore, but I measure success and impact. How many lives are we affecting? How many testimonies are we getting? How many people are coming up to me and say, hey, man, thanks for helping me get a record-breaking month. Hey, man, thanks for helping me. You know, I just made $10,000. For the first time ever, I made $10,000 in a day. And I don't really care about the money, but the thing is, like, entrepreneurs aren't inherently good people. So if I can help them generate more revenue, that means they're going to take a portion of that and they're going to give to their families, communities, and favorite charities, hence making the world a better place.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's me anyway. So you got to find out what result drives you. And then once you start getting those results, that's the nitro super boost that's going to keep you going and going and going. And then a lot of problems are going to disappear. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll kind of shift here a little bit. Tell me a little bit about how you got your first two comma club award back there. You got a few back there. What was
that? A couple back here, a couple more coming, by the way. Listen, we have helped seven funnels hit seven figures, and it's interesting. We're kind of particular who we work with as well. And it's funny. I'm going to try to do a bot campaign today. If you're not on my bot list, you should get on my bot list. It's
pretty I am cool. on your bot list.
Are you?
Yeah.
Nice. How do you like it?
It's good. I love it. I actually modeled after it. So there's a compliment for you.
There you go. I need a testimony.
I will.
That's another thing. Anytime anyone like even flashes a smile at you, get a testimony. Say, hey, I made you smile. Why? Oh, because I like your bop. Give me a testimony. Like collect these things because testimony is like monopoly. It's like in Monopoly. It's like property. It's collecting assets. You know, in Monopoly, the people that have the best properties win, right? So it's like testimonies are assets. You should always be collecting. I have several folders full of them. But yeah, man, we've helped seven. They're all different industries. Honestly, it's kind of crazy. We need to probably niche down a little more in all honesty. But yeah, man, all different industries. We've helped e-courses, people in real estate, medical massage clinics, online like e-com. Yeah, e-courses. Like services like SEO, stuff like that. So it's kind of all over the spectrum because which is an interesting message in itself. It goes to show that it doesn't really matter what you're selling, what product or service you're selling. It's about the message, the flow, the ethical principles of persuasion, you know, but we only work with companies that try to make the world a better place. I don't want to cause any controversy, but I generally don't like some of these insurance companies. Their sales tactics are a little sleazy and misleading and stuff. So I generally don't get involved. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I don't want to say lost, or I've turned down literally six figures worth of contracts from people in the insurance industry who want me to help them with funnels and stuff. And I'm okay with that because it doesn't. You can't think penny wise and pound foolish. You can't be penny wise and pound foolish. You can't think, oh, no, I need the money. When you actually don't sell out and you actually align your business with your ethics, you'll actually find yourself a lot more profitable for several reasons. Yeah, and happier for several reasons. One of which, your mindset's going to be a lot better. Number two, your ideal client is going to be magnetized to you. When someone finds out that, oh, you are not for sale and you actually do things like with a purpose and like in an ethical manner, people flock to you. Do you know what I mean? Because because it's not normal. It's not normal that someone turns down six figures. It's a very unusual thing. It's eye opening. It's like, who's this nutcase over here? Let's see what he's all about.
I relate to that. Cause one thing that's just not in alignment for me is all the cryptocurrency. I like,
oh God, I've turned that away too.
Yeah. I like blockchain, but I really don't like cryptocurrency, which are obviously different things, but I've had like four or five people in the last year, which is, a couple hundred thousand, say, will you launch my ICO with me? And I'm like, no, I can't do that. Sorry.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, no.
I wish them the best. It's not something that I feel good about doing. And so I can't be involved. But let me get back to a more specific question.
A guy told me yesterday, because I actually just rejected someone yesterday. Yeah. He said, man, it must be really nice to have your business at a point where you can just reject business and work. I said, no, man, you got it all twisted. We had this mentality since day one, since we were homeless.
Yeah.
When we were getting out of homeless, we started our first funnel when I was homeless.
Yeah.
Who needed money worse than me? Nobody. Yeah. I was homeless, but we still did not work with certain people.
Yeah.
We had that mentality since day one, and you got to have that mentality since people want to go, oh, yeah, I'll do this.
I'll do the right thing when I have money.
I'll start giving when I have money. BS.
Yeah. All right?
You got to start day one today. If you have money, give money. If you don't have money, give time. If you don't have time, call your mama, make her smile. You see what I'm saying? I just ran. I don't know. I don't know if any of this makes any sense.
No, this is excellent. But I have a question just because I read the book and I think I know the answer. But did you do your first $1 million funnel as your own funnel? Or did you help somebody else? And was that your first $1 million funnel?
No. So we first started... It was someone else's funnel. It was an educational course. We helped them hit seven figures. in that spot. You see, what's interesting is that if you look at things, they're more like stepping stones.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at every single action, it's more of a stepping stone. Okay, I'm going to use this book, like you talk about my book. That's going to be it's an ebook. That's going to be a stepping stone to a physical book.
Yep.
Okay, that physical book is going to be a stepping stone to like a best-selling book in like Barnes and Nobles. So it's like people keep looking at like, oh, this is my, like they keep looking at these things, right? And like, oh, that's my end game. That's my end goal.
Yeah.
I got to tell you something. That's the end of step one.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's like, you got to think like a lot bigger because again, if you want to like, you know, they say what's further, the moon or the star? Stars are further than the moon, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, reach for the stars. And if you don't get it, at least you'll get the moon.
Right.
So people, but if you reach for just the moon, you're going to end up getting, you know, clouds. I don't know. That was like the worst analogy I ever bought. I'm sure you understand what I'm saying. The point is think a lot bigger, like a lot. The internet's growing tremendously by the day. A lot of millionaires are created every single day. Believe me when I tell you, you're no different than any one of us. We're just a bunch of schmucks. Nothing special about us, you know, and anybody, if they have the right mentality and the right work ethic and they're just, you know, intelligent and passionate and honest. I mean, you can do it. People are doing it every single day.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And one of the things that I find pretty interesting and why, one of the reasons you're on the show and why we connected and why I enjoy following you and hanging out and why I modeled after your bot is because it's pretty interesting to see a leader emerge like Russell Brunson, who creates a culture of service and help and just give, give, give. And then a huge majority of Two Comma Club winners are just like him. He, in a sense, he's kind of led the way or shown the way. And we all have people we follow, that not just him, but he's been a huge influence on me for 5 or 6 years now, long before ClickFunnels. And so it's just cool to see this kind of culture grow up around him and follow him. And you're somebody on that page. I can tell by watching your videos and what you do. And like, it's heart first, you know, which is really important to me personally. But then I also see people that get distracted by the awards or the money or the dollars that are trying to play in that group. And it's so thinly veiled that in a matter of a few minutes in a conversation, you can tell that they just don't have any depth. And,
you know, I hate this thing, fake it till you make it. You know, I mean, if you're chasing, I don't know what to tell people, man. I mean, you know, the thing is like people like, I'm not going to say anything. I'll just tell you a quick story. And that is when I had 10 failed businesses, the one shift that got me to success was when I started, man, this is amazing. This is actually 100% true. When I started thinking about others first and put others, when I started thinking about impact first, you see, I actually sacrificed a lot of money to get my first thing to work.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually making a lot more money doing something I didn't like in the marketing world. And I sacrificed a lot of it because this new opportunity was impacting a lot of people in a positive way. So it's actually a very interesting thing about it. I took a massive pay cut.
Yeah.
And then when I started impacting people, that led to much, much, much bigger things. So I'll just tell you from my experience, try to find something that impacts people. And don't look at, oh, well, listen, there's this guy over here. He sells, you know, toothbrushes on Amazon and he makes a million. Good for him. Good for you. You want to go do that? Go do that. I think that stuff is dumb. I can open one of those tonight.
Yep.
You're leaving zero impact on this world. If your website disappeared tomorrow, it's not, the world doesn't change at all. You know, someone's going to buy a toothbrush from somewhere else. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, I've turned down a lot of those opportunities because we all have the same amount of hours in the day. You and me have the same amount of hours in the day as Russell Brunson does.
Yep.
You know, why can't we make an impact? Why can't we do something good with it? You know what I mean? And then someone says, well, I can, you know, I'll do something like e-commerce and I'll take some of that money and do good with it. That's a nice little excuse you just gave yourself. But the truth is, you want to make a lot of money, make a lot of impact.
Yeah, totally. And I appreciate that. I love how you kind of shared that and talked that through, because it's easy to get distracted when we're in a point of scarcity or when our mindset's wrong or when we're hurting or when we've had bad influences. And that is, going to the money first is You're going to crash and burn eventually, and you're going to feel empty. Whereas if you start with impact and how to help others and serve, then you're going to feel full every day and operate from a place of being, you know, totally filled up.
Beautiful. Just beautiful.
Cool.
You know what I mean?
Well, I appreciate you, man. This has been a blast. So I know there's never any agenda. It's just kind of a random conversation, but I feel like those are the valuable ones. So I appreciate you just doing the loose form thing.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, man. If I can ever do anything for you, let me know. Thanks for having me. I appreciate that. I know you can pick anybody for some. Somebody must have canceled for you to pick me, but I appreciate that.
No, I did pick you. And what's if people want to come hang out, I'm going to drop a link to your other group.
Yeah.
So people can get over there in the show notes and everything, but where can they find you?
The call to action portion of the show is here. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, all right, cool. Well, listen, I'll tell you what, I have a webinar. It's freaking, it's pretty good. It's a masterclass on how we've helped seven funnels hit seven figures. I think it's really good. I respect people's time. I think it's well worth your time. I give a lot of, value in it. Check it out. It's on my website, which is myname.com, akbarsheikh.com. I think it's great, personally. And I would recommend for people to check that out.
Perfect. All right. Terrific. Well, we'll share that with everybody. And thanks again for the time, man. We'll definitely have you back on soon in another 6 months and see what big dents you're making in the universe. Okay.
Yeah, hopefully I'm just retired on a farm. That's my dream. Is to just be on a farm. I don't know what I'm going to do on the farm, but I know farm is involved. The rest I'm not sure.
Cool. Well, I appreciate you, man. Thank you so much.
All right. Bless. Peace.
You've been listening to Today's Business Leaders with Gabe Arnold. Remember to subscribe on iTunes. For more information, visit todaysbusinessleaders.com.